womanhood, and destiny. Now a billion-dollar business, what messages are passed down?
We'll also take a humorous and analytical look at this country's own princess icon, Miss America.
That's this Friday at 6 p.m. on KBOO.
I want to be princess.
Hey, that's my crown.
No, it's mine.
Stars in the PM, and I love the sunrise, so I step out in the AM. The street is black and shiny from the nightly rain. The glory of the light brings evaporation. Mornings fresh, oxygen cleanest. I take a deep hit, help my mind stay the greenest. I'm already awake, so I'm not drinking coffee. Don't want a cigarette, cause it's a form of slavery. Walk into the store, cause I need a few items. The sun heats my blood like a hit of vitamins. I need to buy some food, some poop for my dreads. I can't remember why, but I need a spool of thread. Well, a man with dirty dreads, he steps around the corner. He asks me for a dime, a nickel or a quarter. I don't have any change, so I'm stepping along. But as I'm walking past, he sings to me a song. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Eliza. There's a hole. Picking up, cause I'm humming the song. The buses and the people all keep moving along. To the shopkeeper, I say, what's up? And I'm thinking about the man who's holding up the cup. I pay for all the stuff and get a pocket full of change. Well, should I give it to the man's a question in my brain. What's gonna happen if I give the man a dime? I don't wanna pay for another brother's wine. What's gonna happen if I give the man a quarter? Will he find a dealer and try to place an order? What's gonna happen if I give the man a nickel? Will he buy some food or some pork that's been pickled? I'm not responsible for the man's depression. How can I find compassion in the midst of a recession? How can all these questions keep f***ing with my head? And I still can't remember why I need a spool of thread.
Good evening. You are tuned to KBOO 90.7. This is the Hole in the Bucket show. My name is Michael Anderson, and we're here with my co-host, Jay Thiemeyer.
Good evening.
The Hole in the Bucket is KBOO's show on housing and homelessness, and tonight we have an exciting show. This is part one of a part two series we're going to take up on May 31st as well, talking about community and what community means. And so what our guests in the studio tonight are from Dignity Village, and we're very happy to get an update from them. But before we get into that, we're going to start with our homeless headlines. Jay?
First, the Medicare drug program that was boosted by President Bush fails to reach low-income seniors. More than three out of every four low-income seniors eligible for special subsidies are still without drug coverage. May 8th had this news item. When the Medicare Part D drug legislation was enacted, President Bush and congressional leaders boasted that it would be a great help for low-income seniors. A report released May 8th shows, however, that this promise is unfulfilled, and more than three out of four low-income seniors have not enrolled in the program. Only 1.7 million out of 7.2 million eligible for special subsidies have enrolled, a mere 24%. Quote, contrary to promises by the president and congressional leaders, low-income seniors are not receiving help to make their medicines affordable. This according to Ron Pollack, executive director of Families USA. Quote, low-income seniors are the very people who need help the most, yet the administration promises to them are much more rhetorical than real.
Michael? On Friday, May 19th, Clackamas County at Clackamas Community College, there will be a forum on how homelessness affects you and your community and what you can do to be part of the solution. There are over 7,800 homeless people living in Clackamas County. 2,500 of these people are children. The workshop will focus on affordable housing, loss of health care, lack of mental health and addiction treatment services, the impact on children, the impact on environment, public health and safety, and best practices. To find out more about this forum and how to get to the Clackamas Community College site, please contact Brenda Durbin at Clackamas County Social Services, 503-650-5611, or at Brenda, D-U-R, on the end of Brenda, at co.clackamas.or.us.
With recent attention focused on lobbying reform in Congress, two public interest groups today, May the 8th, called for an investigation into how former Representative Billy Tauzin, Republican of Louisiana, now head of the drug manufacturing company's lobby, the Big Pharma, in Washington, inserted language into the drug benefit bill to help big drug companies while he was negotiating to land a $2 million a year job as president of Pharma. Representative Marion Barry of Arkansas, a Democrat, who served with Tauzin on the Medicare Conference Committee, joined leaders from the two groups, the Campaign for America's Future and Americans United, on a conference call with reporters to discuss a new report of scandals surrounding the Medicare Part D prescription drug program. Tauzin, former chair of the Congressional Committee overseeing the passage of Part D, worked hard to prohibit Medicare from negotiating with drug companies to achieve lower prices for seniors.
Hundreds to rally for housing justice May 25th. Years of cuts to crucial housing programs and a federally orchestrated dismantling of the nation's affordable housing infrastructure have galvanized dozens of organizations and hundreds of individuals to sponsor the third annual Housing Justice Day rally. The rally, which will be held on noon Thursday, May 25th, in front of Portland City Hall, will feature Portland City Commissioner Sam Adams and Community Alliance of Tenants leader Mary La Tourette speaking out against the proposed federal housing policy that would cut essential programs that serve working families, veterans, seniors, and people with disabilities. The cuts to the housing programs in the Bush administration's proposed fiscal year 2007 budget are particularly outrageous, especially for seniors and people with disabilities. First of all, there's a 20% proposed cut to the Community Development Block Grant, which helps fund housing mostly for working people earning low incomes. And then there's a proposed 26% cut to the Section 202 program, which houses seniors. And finally, there's a 50% cut to the Section 811 program that is provides housing for people with disabilities. To get involved with the rally, contact Karen Thalheimer at the Community Alliance of Tenants, 503-460-9702. Now, on to the main portion of our show.
The first half of tonight's show will focus on community, with a particular focus on Dignity Village. The village is now entering its sixth year, I believe. And what we're concerned about is that after hearing a great deal about Dignity Village in its early years, we haven't heard a great deal recently. And we're particularly concerned with what's on the front burner for the village, in particular the negotiations for the lease agreement. We have with us Tim McCarthy, who is currently chair of the village, and Shelley, who is in charge of building for the village. Tim, could you give us an update on the lease negotiations for the village?
Yeah, we should be signing the lease shortly. It's been something that we've been working on for the past couple of years with the city. We're concentrating now on the move.
Do you have an idea of when the move will be?
Anytime between now and
forever.
July,
forever.
August.
Does it keep getting put off? And
it keeps getting changed.
So to tell us a little bit about the move, because for a lot of, I think Jay hit the nail on the head. There was a while where I think a lot of people had a good awareness of Dignity Village, but I think lately, you know, for people who aren't directly, personally associated, maybe they don't know as much. Are you moving from your main location? Are you just moving a little bit? Tell us a little bit more.
Okay. Shelley's kind of tongue-tied here. But anyway, what the move is doing is we're losing part of the village. We are losing from the tree forward. If you've been out to the village, you'll know the sequoia tree. They're getting taken back to their parking lot. We will be moving the fence, and we will be going to the opposite end of the lot. We will be 124 foot wide by 394.4 foot long, which is roughly 40% more property than what we're currently located on.
As I understand it, that's going to be better grade land to be for building shelters on. For building
as far places. As I know, they're not doing anything with the tarmac. Mm-hmm. That it's going to be exactly, but they're going to have drains put in so that we won't be having as much water set.
You won't be flooded every
year. Yeah, we won't be flooded November. Every year.
Right. So. We hope.
And you say this will be more space?
More space, 40% more space.
Right. Do you anticipate more people being able
to accommodate? We're still mandated by the city that we can only have 60 people.
Okay. Could you tell us something about, say, looking back over the past year, something about the demographics, people who have made up the village?
Okay. And, we have roughly 61% of the residents have an income. 89% of the residents are registered voters. 23% of them are college graduates. I think it's about 10% that has a driver's license. Most of them use bicycle to get around or the bus, which at the moment the bus is kind of sucky because of the overpass is gone until October, so we're on a shuttle. So 6:20 in the morning until 6:20 at night.
Who provides the shuttle? Where is that?
It's the city. It's
through TriMet?
TriMet. Mm-hmm. It's just so that all of the people from on past 33rd Drive has some bus service to it. And it'll be that way until October the 1st.
How often does it run? How often does the shuttle run?
It runs from 6:20 in the morning until 6:20 at night.
Right. I mean, every hour?
30 minutes.
Every 40 minutes. On the weekend, it starts at 9:05 and goes to 6:25 at night, and Sunday is the same thing.
So what do you do if you need to get back to the village from, say, Old Town, Chinatown?
If you don't take the 75 to 33rd and drive and then walk, you hopefully have a friend like Ross or Shelley that have a vehicle and they come and pick you up.
Do many people at the village have vehicles?
Just a couple.
One that runs.
One that runs that's there all the time, and then one that's there part time.
Right. Do many people at the village have disabilities that they have to have special provision for?
Oh boy.
We have both physically and mentally handicapped people there. We have several people that are in wheelchairs or that use wheelchairs on.
What do they do to get around? Does the shuttle have a lift, for example?
Yeah, the shuttle has a lift. It's just like a regular bus, except it's a little bit smaller.
Are they able to get around in the village? I mean, is it level enough?
Yeah, pretty much. There's no one that's totally confined to the wheelchair. Some of them use it for balance and to walk. We have several people that have balance problems, walkers. That they use,
right.
So they can get around better.
I'm concerned about if someone has a mental health crisis. How do you deal with a situation like that? How do you deal with healthcare crises? Do you have anyone? How do you deal with it?
We call 911. Okay. We do have a registered nurse that lives on that lives there. This is the second one that we've had out there. So if something gets serious before they come, that some of us can help take care of them.
Can you talk about the assistance that Outside In has provided?
Outside In comes out twice a month. They come out the first Wednesday and the third Wednesday of every month. And they pretty much are the primary care doctors for out there. Very few of us have health care. I think it's only like 6 or 7% of the villagers in South have health care through OHP.
What do they have through OHP?
Yeah.
Still. Is that standard or
plus? That's standard.
Okay.
Where you, the only way you can get OHP plus is if you have SSI or SSD, then it's plus. Otherwise, you have to come up with the $6. But in June, that's all supposed to change. I guess the $6 fee is going to be no longer involved for standard.
Has there been much discussion about the Part D Medicare drug benefit legislation?
I can't hear you.
The Part D Medicare drug benefit program that was started in January that I was reading the news items. Is anyone that old? Is anyone, say, over 65?
We have one person out there that's over 65, but I'm not. She so far pays her own medical.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She has her own policy.
So when we're talking about this move, what are some of the things that will be a challenge for the village? Well, how will it change how the village is, and what are you going to be looking at doing with this new space?
Wow.
Go ahead.
Boy, I'm trying to find a good answer for you here. That's such a stretch of a very simple question. The biggest challenge as the building coordinator of Dignity Village right now is actually finding someone who can assist us or advise us or, you know, help us out in any kind of way with the actual physical moving of the little buildings. We've sent out several letters of inquiry to structure moving companies. Thus far, we've had no kind of reply. Help me. Please help me. Yeah, really, I'm a mechanic. I am not a structure moving type person, so if anyone, you know, can help me out with that in any way, shape, or form, please definitely stop by the village or call in any way.
So that's partly what it's going to be, is an effort to move these existing structures, keep them intact so they can still be a livable place, but that's going to involve some bit of a magic and expertise.
Let me tell you.
There was a listener out there, and we're going to open up the phone lines in a second, but if there was a listener out there who was able to help you, how would they get in contact with you?
They could call Tim McCarthy or Chris Orcelli at Dignity Village at 503-281-1604.
Let's say that number one more time again, because we might have someone out there who's looking for a pen, but they know the answer here.
Okay, it's 503-281-1604. Ask for Tim or Chelly. Yeah, I need all the help I can get. The houses are all built to a framing code. They meet the same framing code as any house or any building in the city of Portland. We just don't have utilities in the little structures, so we don't have to meet plumbing code or electrical code, but we're built the same way any house out there is mandated by the Bureau of Development Services.
What do you do for electricity and plumbing?
Most of us, the majority, all heat, light, or cook by propane. That's the safest possible method. We have a few people who actually use kerosene, but we laugh at them when we walk by because we can smell it reeking out of their house. All of our little structures are really small, so you know, propane is definitely the most efficient and, you know, odor efficient you can possibly get. We have obviously running water. We have a community shower.
What?
We have a community shower, right, Tim?
Yes, we do.
The cute little delay there was our water heating system actually blew up a little while ago. And we have been, you know, frantically trying to find a water heater that actually functioned on propane. So apparently that arrived today when I left for work. Yes.
All right.
There's a shower coming after work. We have a water manifold in the common area where, you know, you can get your drinking water, your, you know, washing water, cooking water, whatever is the water, the plants, water.
Speaking of the commons.
Before you get this question out, if we have callers out there who want to call in and join the conversation, the number is 503-231-8187. Don't be shy. Call in. We're talking tonight about community and particularly Dignity Village and what's going on. I'm sorry, Jay. Go ahead.
Thanks. Speaking of community, I'm interested in the commons. The commons is going to have to be eliminated as a result of this move required by PDOT, the Portland Department of Transportation, and the Bureau of Maintenance, I guess, really. Their master plan, which existed before the village was constructed, so they're just implementing that. But I'm curious, who is going to help with? Tell me about the commons. How was it used? I know that people. You mentioned, Tim, the other day that people would get together in the morning for coffee. Can you talk about the role of the commons and how it's going to be, how the structure is going to be replaced, or thoughts about that? What the function of it is and how it's going to be reconstructed.
Take them off. The common area is used for all of our business meetings, as well as like I said the other day, people come out there and they drink coffee in the morning and they sit around and they talk about their plans for the day, what's going to happen, where they're going to go, what they're going to do. At nighttime, it's the movie theater. After 5 o'clock at night, you can turn the TV on until midnight. So a lot of people sit around in there and watch television. We also show documentaries in there. And we also are working on a toolkit with Kawamba Production. And
Kawamba. Could you spell that?
Yes, it's capital K-W-A-M-B-A.
And they have an ongoing documentary history of the village.
Yes, they're doing a documentary of the village, and also we're doing a media toolkit that's for other cities to see how we have come up with making the village run. Hopefully it will be used by other cities to implement a tent city in their area.
I know a big reason that there hasn't been a lot of news recently available to people like myself who aren't able to get out to the village as much as they'd like but want to know what's going on is that the website has been sort of in abeyance, but that you're working on getting that up and going.
The website is being changed from its current location, and it's going to be able to be worked on and everything through the computers at the village. We've just got a hold of another organization that is going to host us on a website. The website hasn't been updated since September 26th of 2005. And that's because Jack Tafare left the village and he had the passwords.
And where is he now?
He's in London, England. Uh-huh. But we haven't got the passwords from him, so we have to do it a different way to get it. But we should be working on it this weekend.
Right. Will that mean more resuming networking with other tent cities?
Yes.
Like the village or the city at Osaka and these other places?
Yeah, because they write they check the website, and if there's nothing going on the website, then we don't hear nothing. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of incognito in the website. What Chrysler Shelley has been doing lately is writing a Builders Weekly newsletter type thing, and I'm sending it out to some of our sponsors. So if you want your name on it, just let me know and I will send it to you. And that way you guys can be caught up in what we're doing as well on a weekly basis.
So what are some of the things that people would find out in the newsletter?
Well, as the building coordinator, I simply write from the construction aspect of the village. We are pretty sadly remiss in not being able to keep up with, sponsors, supporters, people who just want to know about us because of this little disaster with our website. But we're headed for a cure. We're not sure exactly how long it will take our host to, make it move and shake, because I'm no more computer literate actually than Tim is. So you'll get the basic aspects of what's going on. And believe me, there's a lot to the aspect of building in Dignity Village. We don't just build, we demolish, we warehouse, we stack, we take donations of materials in. We've always got 15 different projects going on at the same time, which is really, really crazy. So, if you want to know what's going on, we're sending out the list to anyone who's on the information at Dignity Village or the information at Out of the Doorways site. Same thing, yeah. If you want to be thrown onto the Builders Weekly list, if you care to hear what we're doing, I'd be thrilled to death to let you know. Send Tim an email at tim97211@yahoo. Let him know you want to be on that list, and we'll get it out to you every week. It's actually kind of fun to see the many crazy things that we're doing.
Tim's email is, this is Tim that we're talking with, who's the chair. tim97211@yahoo.com to get on the Builders Weekly that Shelley's coordinating. And we'd like to repeat the number, which is 503-231-8187. If you have any questions, please call up. I know that the village was being pointed to as a model of sustainability, that there was a lot of assistance coming from City Repair, for example, the City Repair Project. And I'm concerned about or interested in what's going on around that. Like you talked about handling different aspects. What's going on as far as recycling, for one thing, or the windmill? What's going on with that? How does the move affect these kinds of things?
Well, the way the move is affecting it is we are getting organized and tidy, which has been desperately needed for a huge amount of time. We have a very few amount of builders in the village, so we find ourselves trying to bang nails. And while we're banging nails, one of our old train wrecks, those are the little shanties that we are not allowed to have anymore, thank God, they're coming down. So you've got demolition materials while we're banging nails. And then we'll have donated materials, you know, used building stuff that comes in while we're banging nails. And, you know, so what happens is we end up with this huge, enormous, giant pile. So really, the move has pushed us to absolutely organizing, getting it straightened out. It's always such an eyesore. That's a wonderful thing. We have a green, sustainable mission statement. So we try to recycle everything that comes into the village that goes out of the village right down to our trash, you know, as the same as we recycle our people. You know, there is still a useful item in that used and burned up item, burned out item. So we recycle everything just like the people.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
How do the animals like the prospect of moving? Have they given you any comment, any feedback on the whole prospect of moving?
No, but they will. We have a lot of us, Shelley and I both have dogs and I have cats. Right. And as soon as I start packing, then I'll have problems in my house.
With Zags?
With Zags and with Zacat and Willow and Cream and Namaste and the other ones that are unnamed that happen to share their dwelling with me. I say it that way because they have the bed. They definitely, if you ever own a, or rather, I should say, if you ever have a pet own you, it will be a cat. And my cats wake up at 5 o'clock a.m. every morning and cry until I go over and put new food in the dish. So they will definitely make an effect.
We my partner and I, we started feeding our cat at night, so it stopped me out in the morning. Well, we have a couple more minutes here, which is, boy, this has just flown by and makes me think right away, but we have to have you back in here more often. But one of the things I'd like to do as we're talking about community, one of the things that impresses me so much about Dignity is you have the community within Dignity, and then you have the different other people living around Portland, the area, who've become part of that community in different ways. And I'd be interested to hear what are some reflections that you'd have about the importance of the community that Dignity is and also what it symbolizes, what it's hopeful for. Did I get too philosophical on you?
Yeah, I think you did. I'm just a simple nail pounder. Let's see. What does my community amount to? I'll tell you what my community amounts to. When my former community tossed me because I'd done a very stupid thing, when I no longer had a job, a home, or a family, Dignity Village told me they'd take a chance on me. And that was all they were going to take was a chance, but I had the opportunity to improve my life. And through Dignity Village, not only have I improved my life, but they have improved my life. I'm hoping that serving as a building coordinator helps me improve their lives. Without Dignity Village, the fact is I'd be down on the street still, you know, wondering how to take care of myself. I couldn't do it by myself.
There'd be a lot more people in the street if it wouldn't have been for Dignity Village being there when they needed them.
Yeah. All we can do is, you know, keep, you know, try to stand by our mission statement, try to, you know, always get along with our neighbors, get along with the city, you know, make a point to make sure that Dignity Village continues to exist because there's another me out on the street that's tired of it. Yeah. There's another me out there. So I think that's our our overwhelming mission is to continue to exist. You know, based on our model, it's possible that people in other cities, other states, other countries, you know, will be able to find themselves a community where they're safe, where they're wanted, and where they're needed.
Well, I definitely would like to receive the Builders Weekly.
Hey.
And that's Tim 97211 at yahoo.com to get on the mailing list for the what they're doing building-wise out at the village and get, and by implication, of an update on what's going on.
Every Sunday.
Well, this has been really great having you in. Thank you very much, both Tim and Shelley. We are now continuing on the subject of community, going to hear some on-the-street interviews conducted by Liam Delta with the question posed to people, what does community mean to you? Then after that, Jay and I'll be right back to talk about some city politics and urban renewal.
People coming together and doing things for the good of the community. Whether you're on the streets or got a place, got housing.
People, just like family. Homeless people. People that are concerned about homeless people. That try to help homeless people.
Togetherness.
Community means to me people getting along. People representing their race. And getting along in that particular race in that community.
Relationship with everyone you come in contact with, they're all part of your community.
Community means a group of people from different areas that makes one goal.
Community means to me family, stick together.
Community? A group of people living together, working together?
Community means looking out for your neighbors. And having a sense of belonging with the people that live in your area, in your neighborhood.
I guess having good neighbors and good sense of your neighborhood and friendly people.
A good community is a group of people who share somewhat of the same ideals and work together.
Community means people with similar interests moving in the same direction. But how do you work diversity into community? You have to find a common interest, even between diverse groups, because humans have lots of common interests.
It means the people that live around you are going through the same trip together. So we got to look out for each other.
You can't spell that word without unity. It means people working together and living together in like a cohesive unit.
I think that it just means a coming together of spirits.
Almost like a sense of family. Something that you can rely on, something that everyone's in on, something that everyone is concerned about.
People that get together and look out for one another, I guess. People that can be themselves.
It's kind of a family.
Our next topic is a recent victory by the Affordable Housing Now! Coalition at the Portland City Council. Increasingly, over the past few years, public attention has focused on the Portland Development Commission, how they spend their money, which is public money, and how urban renewal impacts neighborhoods and community. We've all heard about the ever-increasing cost of the tram, public funding being used for high-end condos for the rich, and how urban renewal can often mean urban removal in gentrifying neighborhoods. On April 26th, the Portland City Council, by a unanimous vote of 4-0, established a set-aside to ensure that a minimum proportion, 30% of urban renewal resources, are used for housing affordable to working families, people with disabilities, and seniors. Although Council did not go so far as to set that proportion, the Affordable Housing Now! Coalition believes the Council vote in favor of the set-aside was a major first step in reorienting PDC policy to ensure that public urban renewal dollars are used for housing that is truly affordable to those currently being left behind by Portland's ongoing inflating housing market. For this discussion, we turn to co-host Michael Anderson, who is one of the leaders of the Affordable Housing Now! Coalition. First, before we get into specifics with urban renewal, could you tell us something about about Affordable Housing Now?
Absolutely, and Affordable Housing Now! Is a coalition that's been together for about 4 years now. where there's over 40 organizations, hundreds of individuals, and the coalition is basically brought together on the concept of, in order to address our housing problem for people that are being left behind by the high cost of housing, we need resources to address that housing need. And so Affordable Housing Now has been working with the city council over the last three budget sessions. We've won $13 million for affordable housing, a lot of which has been used for the 10-year plan. And this budget cycle, it looks like we are in line to win about another $6 million for affordable housing.
When will that be decided? When is the budget, the city's budget, going to be finalized?
The budget process will be finalized. The mayor's proposed budget is actually out for public comment right now. Actually, on Thursday evening, downtown, there is a public hearing from 6 to 8.
At City Hall?
No, it's not at City Hall. It's in the Learning Center up in Northwest. But I'll tell you what you can do. If you get on Portland Online, on the web, you can find the community budget hearing, and it'll have all the details. I'm sorry, I don't have them with me.
That's actually the facility right to the west of Cooch Park.
That's right, that's
2033 Northwest Gleason.
That's correct.
Or whatever it is. Explain to us exactly what happened at the city council meeting on April 26th.
Well, the 26th was April 26th, about 2 weeks ago, was a really exciting day. As I said, we've had some victories around the city budget process, but frankly, in some ways, those victories, as much as they were hard work, they were things that we really thought that we could achieve. They were very much in our grasp. But some of the bigger targets that we've been after has been the urban renewal money and how specifically the Portland Development Commission decides to spend urban renewal money. The fact is, over the past decade, the Portland Development Commission has spent only about 13% of these public funds on housing that's affordable to regular working people. They've spent a lot of other housing money, and we've seen that. We've seen it in the high-end condos of the Pearl. We've seen it in this new Southwest Waterfront. We've seen a lot of money not being spent on housing, you know, in North and Northeast, the Armory, or in North and Northeast. That's put a lot of pressure on the housing market, and yet there hasn't been, I would say, the equalizing impact of using some of those public funds to help long-term neighborhood residents stay in their place. So on council on April 26, what happened is Commissioner Eric Sten and Commissioner Sam Adams stepped forward and introduced a resolution that would create a set-aside that would allocate a certain amount of set money of urban renewal towards affordable housing, and more importantly even than that, in terms of what happened 2 weeks ago, is they would define affordable housing so no longer will we see these absurd definitions where we read in the paper, Portland Development Commission says we've done all this affordable housing. Then you find out about it. It's a $900 studio. You know, what we're talking about in this set-aside is we started getting the specifics in there of, well, guess what? Over 10% of Portland earns under $10,000 a year. We need housing for those people. Guess what? There's people who are working as bank tellers, as grocery store clerks, as retail salespeople, who they could work 40 hours a week and they still couldn't afford a private market rental. We need housing for those folks. Right. And that's what this did.
Well, there's no place in the United States where a person making minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, can afford an apartment. No place. What the Affordable Housing Now, I guess, is working toward is getting affordable housing for working families, for elders, for seniors, people with disabilities, and people of extremely low income. As things stand now, what obligation is the PDC under to provide, to put money into affordable housing?
Well, to be, you know, to be a plain, PDC has always put a certain amount of money into affordable housing. Our main beef is it's been far too little. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they've done nothing before. But then our other piece is that they've often done it at provided affordable housing for those who have more options. In other words, maybe it's a family making $50,000 a year. They might not have a lot of options in this housing market, but they sure have a heck of a lot more than a family that's trying to survive on $20,000. So what this set-aside will achieve is it will push down the targets of where urban renewal money is spent. But I think the interesting thing is we feel very excited about this victory, but we also feel this is only a first step, because one of the very important pieces that City Council did not fully resolve was what is the appropriate level of the set-aside. What Affordable Housing Now is saying is 30% of urban renewal funding should go to affordable housing for the people who need it.
Well, what exactly is the process for determining that the amount of the set-aside?
Well, at the request of Mayor Potter, the City Council, we had votes in City Council that would have implemented a 30% set-aside on April 26th. But the mayor said that it made sense that there would be more time for community process to determine the right amount. I think his feeling was that urban renewal dollars are used for a lot of different things. And in terms of just one interest group, in this case, Affordable Housing Now, saying it needs to be more for housing, he wanted some longer time to think about that. However, the reason I think that and what he said is give us till September 1st. And then there's Affordable Housing Now and a bunch of other groups are going to be brought together in our community process to try to figure out the right amount. But I'm very confident that we're going to wind up at that amount of 30% at September 1st. The reason being is this, is that if you look at the level of affordability that we want, which would be for a family of four, again, making a little under $50,000 a year, you know what? That describes 58% of the city of Portland, according to census. So we think by asking for 30% of urban renewal money to address the needs of 58% of the population, that the request that we're making is extremely reasonable. We've seen cities in California do it. It's time for Portland to step up.
What impressed me about this this vote was that it represented the real impact of public pressure, the public showing up, demanding a certain result, and the council listened to them. What concerns me is that over the time between now, not just September the 1st, but this ongoing deliberation about, you know, what's the appropriate amount to set aside for affordable housing, all the different, you know, just how precarious this vote is. I mean, what can you talk about, say, some of the dangers, some of the things where people have to pay attention and show up at city council meetings or like the public hearing tomorrow night, 6 to 8? At 2033 Northwest Gleason, this kind of thing, where public input is needed.
Well, Jay, I think you're really hitting on something here. As I mentioned, Affordable Housing Now is a coalition. We're 4 years old. This was one of our original targets, and we have kept pushing and pushing and pushing. We have a volunteer speakers bureau of over 30 individuals. We have regular meetings and disseminate information by email that prepare people. So when there are times at city council or in other venues where elected leaders are paying attention and listening, we make sure we have people there, and we make sure we have people who can talk very specifically about why certain decisions need to be made at this time. And basically what happened is we put on a heck of a lot of public pressure through this last budget process, because the feedback that we were getting is there's so little money in the budget, we can't do all we want for housing. So what we said is, boy, you got a good point there. So let's look at other public money and make sure we have the same emphasis on tough decisions and priorities. There seems like there's a lot of money that might be being wasted in urban renewal. The city council heard that argument. They didn't hear it overnight, but they heard it because at event after event, we had community members showing up and talking about it. The Community Alliance of Tenants has been a tremendous part of the Affordable Housing Now Coalition, turning out their tenant leaders who can speak from very personal experience about just what it means to have a place to call home and why the city needs to use their funding more wisely around urban renewal. So for the listeners out there, in terms of what lays ahead, well, there's going to be a number of opportunities over the summer. They aren't set yet when they're going to be, but there's an easy way that you can plug in, and that's by getting involved with Affordable Housing Now. You can do that in several ways. You could call Karen Thalheimer at the Community Alliance of Tenants at 503-460-9702. You could email me, Mike, at cdnportland.org. Or you could attend that rally, and we'll talk about that once more before the show's over. But during the newscast, we talked about the Rally for Housing Justice, May 25th. There's going to be people from Affordable Housing Now there with sign-up sheets and a great time to get involved.
And that's at noon at City Hall, the 25th, coming up.
That's right. That's right.
Let me see. I'm interested in what – if could you go through – you've mentioned Community Alliance of Tenants. Could you mention some of the other groups that are involved?
Yeah.
Affordable, a sizable coalition.
Yeah. Affordable Housing Now is really one of the things that really makes me proud about being a part of it is that it's not just – you know, one segment of the community. We have the involvement from the Coalition for a Livable Future, from the Oregon Food Bank, the City Club of Portland, the League of Women Voters, REACH CDC, the Portland Housing Center, my organization, the Community Development Network, Crossroads, from down at Sisters of the Road is a member too. I mean, this is a coalition that I believe one of the reasons it's effective is because you don't have people just playing one kind of drum. We're all going the same beat, but it's different drums. And it because the thing about the coalition that I think gives us our strength is we understand that housing isn't just about a roof over your head and four walls. It's about opportunity. It's about having a place to call home. It's about having a place for your kids to put their homework on the fridge. It's about
dignity.
It's dignity. That's right. Yeah. As our guests were just attesting to earlier, I mean, having a place where you're wanted, where you can hang your hat and kick your feet up and say, I'm home, is a really important thing. And that's what drives the strength of this coalition.
Well, it stuns me that with an ever-expanding homeless population, that you have PDC basically having a blank check to do whatever they want to, which is, you know, just totally irresponsible to the need for affordable housing for, you know, working poor, for working families, for elders, for disabled folks. They seem to be, you know, relatively very indifferent. They're, when I think of PDC, I think of like Gateway, you know, where you had low-income people being pushed out of affordable housing to make way for this huge development. I think of the Armory, which is the new home for the Portland Center Stage. I think of all these things which are catering to people who have money in their pocket, and that just I don't see how they can be held, you know, cannot be held to account for their refusal to take the lead in providing affordable housing, not just being stonewalling or obstructive, but they should be taking the lead in this. These are urban renewal public dollars, and it's amazing to me that they aren't obligated to attend to affordable housing needs.
Well, I'm hardly going to play the role of PDC apologist, but what I am going to say is oftentimes people who live in a world where money is plentiful simply have no concept of what it's like to want. And I think that for folks who've been making decisions over at the Development Commission, in their mind, they have done a dramatic job over the past decade and a half in beautifying our city, the waterfront downtown, a lot of things that actually really are beautiful. I'm not going to argue that they're beautiful. But where I think there's been a real disconnect is they don't understand for working people who are earning 10 bucks an hour, you're just not making it. You can bust your back, and at the end of the month, you're still trying to decide, do I have enough money for food? What about Joey's new school clothes? What about getting my daughter's asthma medication? All these basic things that, frankly, I don't think even really occur to some of the decision makers over there, which is frankly why, going back to this decision at City Council on April 26th, we're really lucky to have leadership from people like Commissioner Sten and Commissioner Sam Adams, because they do get it. You know, they do understand that if people don't have the basics, access to the basics, that what you do is you put a stress not on just those individuals, but on a whole community and weaken the whole community. So even if you can make all the beautiful buildings in the world, you still have a social fabric that at any moment that could tear. And that's what I think is exciting about this particular piece is all of a sudden we're with the City Council taking the lead, grabbing the reins of Portland Development Commission and say, come back to earth. There's a lot of people here who are in really serious need, and it's not time to toss a lot of money into a tram. It's time to find out, let's get some people into some housing they can afford.
It's about real community priorities.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, there seems to be this growing gap between the well-to-do and the poor. Sort of reminded of Metropolis, the movie, which I think is playing at the Guild or the Witzel sometime soon. You had this incredible division between the rich and poor. What concerns me about Portland is that it does seem to be becoming sort of a, on the one hand, a retirement village. On the other hand, young people who on their way up, yumpies, who with no children, and there's no real place being provided or guaranteed for working families. I know this is a big part of the debate that went on at City Council on the 26th.
Right, and again, I want to give credit to all the members of council for I think that they're on top of this issue. You know, Commissioner Randy Leonard went on at length before he cast his vote in favor of this resolution. And one of the things he said is, you know, I know this is going to make some people uncomfortable here, but Portland's becoming an elitist city. Portland's becoming a white elitist city. And, you know, that we are who we are, and we need to own up to that. But we also need to understand there's things that we can do to take action to change. You're not locked into being one way. And I think these urban renewal resources are really a wonderful opportunity to right the ship, to start going in the right direction. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, spin some fairy tale and say, hey, if we get these urban renewal money, we're going to have housing for everybody. Because unfortunately, the problem is a lot bigger than that. But what I think we would achieve here is saying, as we have public dollars, we're going to spend them more responsibly to what actually people need.
Well, suppose the 30%, say September 1st, the council decided on 30% set aside. What? How soon would that be implemented? Can you give us a timeline of?
Yeah, I think that basically what it comes down to is that the process over the summer to determine the set aside amount will be the first step, and that's the part that we have clarity on. That would happen through September 1st, but then once that we arrive at that set-aside amount. The timetable that has been articulated by Commissioner Sten has been that by the next budget year, so that would be June 31st of 2007, PDC in their budgeting would have to start allocating whatever percentage, again, we hope 30% of the tax increment finance money to affordable housing. Now, in some instances, they may have already committed money out for a number of years. You know, so in other words, that there won't be an ability to absolutely retrofit this to commitments that have already been made. But July 1st, 2008, at that point, everything should be caught up. So from that point on, whatever the level is, that level of money would be set aside specifically, again, for working people earning low income, senior people with disabilities, housing in that range, housing that's truly affordable. And what we're talking about is even for some working families, maybe getting them into first-time home ownership, but really using the bulk of the money to concentrate on people who can't even find a rental that's in their range.
Who's going to verify it?
Well, again, that's a huge piece. I mean, it would be nice to say that You can just take Portland Development Commission on their word, but we found that to be very difficult. Oftentimes, it's quite the opposite. So I guess what we would say is, as this would move forward, we would hope that the city auditor would do an annual independent report of exactly what monies were put away. We also would hope that the way that city council would construct it, it would be clear, it would be transparent.
Has the city auditor done anything about South Waterfront verifying the investors' commitment to affordable housing there?
No, I don't think that the city auditor has been directly involved. It's mostly been PDC reporting on what they've done. And, you know, frankly, during that tram vote, there was a lot of very disingenuous rhetoric that they had solved the affordable housing problem. In fact, actually, this morning on KBOO, there was an interview of the city commissioners, the candidates for city commissioner Dan Saltzman, and he was talking about, he voted for the tram, and he said, yeah, we got a lot of affordable housing in that. Well, that's not true. They actually shifted a lot of money through the affordable housing budget to actually pay off Homer Williams so he would put money in on the tram. But that's what happened. This wasn't any kind of victory for affordable housing in the advocate's mind.
Well, who would hold Saltzman to account? If he's seen things that are mistaken, who's going to correct him?
Well, no, I talked with his office today. I think that it was here's what's difficult on this issue, is that city council relies on the same information from PDC that we all rely on. And if that information isn't correct, I was there during that hearing. PDC made a presentation that they were doing a lot for affordable housing. The fact is they weren't, but they convinced Commissioner Saltzman that they were.
Which makes affordable housing now and the whole coalition of people who are trying to bring some light on this situation all the more indispensable.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably a good segue to think about how to wrap it up. We have this rally May 25th out at City Hall. It's going to be on the 4th Avenue side, and it's going to be against the federal housing cuts. I don't want to mince any words
which
here.
Which are the big bear in the background,
the big bear in the background. We can get urban renewal. We can get city general fund. But if this current administration keeps cutting the money the way they have, it just spells disaster for housing. And so May 25th, 12 noon, come down to City Hall, get involved with Affordable Housing Now, and
tomorrow night is the 6 to 8
budget
hearing. Public hearing.
Yep.
Yeah. At 2033 Northwest Gleason.
Yep. And
next to Cooch Park.
And I guess this wraps up our show. I've been both a host and a guest, but we got a treat for you all out there. We're going to close tonight's show with a song from a new album released by Neil Young, and I guess this really gets to the heart of it. This is a song called Let's Impeach the President. Good night from Michael Anderson.
And Jay Thiemeyer.
This is the community calendar for Wednesday, May 10th. Radical Women will be holding a meeting tonight from 6:30 to 9 p.m. This event